Now, it's The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
From the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Laird Veach. He's the athletic director at the University of Memphis. And big news yesterday as they discussed how they are going to start bringing student athletes back to campus. Laird joins me now. Laird, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jeff?
How much are you leaving the house these days?
Do what? I'm sorry. What was that?
How much are you leaving the house these days?
Well, you know, I just started this week, so I'm actually in my office now.
Really?
I think I am maybe the only person in the athletic office building at the moment. But, I just sort of felt like, you know, we're getting ready to start back. I need to, you know, try to lead the way and get up here and get used to it. But just about 3 days this week, and then I think I'll be in probably most every day next week. And, you know, some of our leadership will join me here, you know, over the next week or two as we get ready to have student athletes back.
So you are a great and doting father, I know and believe. But isn't it fantastic to be away from the family safely in your office, Laird? Come on. You can just tell me. I won't tell anyone else.
Yeah, right. It is easier to focus. I will put it that way. I will put it that way. I'm fortunate that, you know, I never thought I would say this, but I'm fortunate that I've had three teenage daughters in the house at the same time because they actually keep each other pretty busy, and that helps. My 10-year-old boy has been going a little stir crazy, so trying to finally connect him with some friends now has been helpful over the last week or so. But I will admit I'm ready to be back in the office.
Three teenage daughters. That is interesting. Okay, so. Again, let's just take people through this. Phase zero is going to begin June 6th when football players who will be the first people back can start to return for voluntary workouts. Is that right? What will phase zero look like?
So phase zero will essentially be what I am calling a screening and acclimation period. That's just my own term for it, how I kind of frame it in my mind. And really, that's the time. First of all, there will be no workouts, really no access to the facilities directly themselves other than the opportunity to go through screenings, testing, questionnaires, the typical physicals that we always go through. And it also gives us a period then to, you know, if there are student athletes that are coming from high-risk areas, that they can be isolated and really just sort of get everything established before they would start in their phase one, which, you know, assuming everything goes well in phase zero, would start June 15th.
And during this period, there's no film sessions. If there are, they would be only on Zoom and kind of thing. There's no classroom work. There's no meetings except for individual stuff. Is that right? Is that
correct?
Okay.
Correct. The remainder of the elements that they'll be participating in allowable for NCAA rules would still continue to be the virtual Zoom meetings, those kind of things.
All the players will be, and they'll trickle in. You'll schedule when they come in so they're not coming all at once, but by the end of the week, the bulk of the team could be in, I presume. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very possible. As you said, it is voluntary. The indication we get is that, student-athletes of all of our sports are very eager and ready to sort of get back to Memphis, get back to campus, and to train and, you know, prepare for their craft. So I think we'll get, a good response from that. But correct, we'll give that full week, almost 10 days for everybody to move back and, as you said, schedule them in at different times in a very controlled manner for testing, screening, et cetera.
Okay. And they are going to be tested for COVID. You're working with a local group to do this. Is it your basic nose? It's your standard COVID. It's not an antibody test. It's the standard COVID test that we hear about at the drive-thrus and everywhere else.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Correct. It's not the antibody test. Right.
And what happens if a player tests positive at the threshold when they walk in the door?
Well, if they wouldn't walk in the door, first of all, if they do.
Thank you.
And, you know, they would immediately be isolated and then, you know, go through you know, the quarantine process and monitored by our team physicians. And then, of course, we would immediately go into the contact tracing process, all these buzzwords that I'm right. learning, you know, to identify anybody else that they may be in touch with that could have been exposed. And then, you know, from there, it really, really is turned over to the medical professionals to, you know, to manage the appropriate way and, you know, try to keep everybody around them safe.
Now, the players are all going to be living where they would ordinarily be living. So some might be dorms, some might be apartments, some might be houses. Is that right? All over wherever?
That's correct, which is one of the reasons why, you know, you have to do so much, you know, sort of front-end questionnaire information work. So we know who they're living with. We know how to get in touch with people should something happen, should someone, you know, be tested positive or show symptoms, and be able to communicate with, you know, with people the right way. And, you know, certainly teammates, and but that could be staff or for others as well.
How worrisome in terms of, I'm sure, I can't imagine like what, how much worrying you do generally on this thing, but in terms of the things you worry about, I think that would be high on my list. A, because you have no, when they're at the facility, you will tightly control their behavior, you know, their where they're headed, whether they're walking one direction, whether everything else, whether they're disinfecting, when they're back wherever they are. Who they come in contact with, how they come in contact with them, whether they, I mean, they're young men. They may decide to be, you know, doing some, having some fun on the side. how concerning is that to you? And I suspect you will address them about this specifically.
Well, we certainly will address them, and we will continue to. I know, you know, that'll be a primary focus of our coaches, is talking to them about, you know, how they manage themselves off campus and, you know, away from our facilities is going to be really the determining factor of how healthy and safe we can keep throughout this. But, you know, as I was hearing you say that, Jeff, you really just summarize, you know, every day as an athletic director or a coach, the things we're concerned about is much less worry about, or much less the things that are, you know, happening in our facilities. And it's what, you know, what happens off, you know, you have young people and they don't always make the best decisions, even though you certainly encourage them and try to teach and educate them and making sure they're, you know, they're aware of the impact of their decisions. But absolutely, we have talked about that. That is going to be, you know, the highest risk factor is their behavior, you know, away from our facilities.
That's parenting too, by the way. When they're in my facility, I actually feel pretty comfortable about my three boys. When they're away from the facility, that's when I worry. But you have a lot more to worry about. So, all right, during this, so then if presumably all goes well, I mean, is phase one, so then June 15th, they're going to move into phase one. That's not automatic. That is like everything else in this world, depending on how things are going. Is that right? Up till then,
that's right, and you also summarized that's the reality for our whole plan is we're going to have to continue to be flexible, monitor all the latest guidelines, the situation, be willing to adjust. I mean, we've all learned that's our world now. So correct, you know, the goal I would say is June 15th, and you know, as of now we feel good about that, but if something happens that we need to make an adjustment, then we'll make an adjustment. And, you know, then each of our other sports will go through a similar process. So men's and women's basketball, for instance, will report on or have the opportunity to report on June 15th, and then they'll start their phase zero and go through a similar process. You know, and then we go through that same thing then towards the end of the month, you know, beginning of July, we'll bring in our other fall sports, and then phase in, every sport will start with a phase zero and then go through those phases. And those phases and times may adjust depending on what we learn and depending on the size of the program and you know, how things progress. But that's the process. And it really just allows us to, you know, effectively manage our resources, including, you know, probably most importantly, staff and staff time. Our sports medicine staff, as you might imagine, is really going to be taxed through this process. So we just got to be really mindful that we can, you know, as we're bringing student athletes back, that we can manage it appropriately and, you know, follow all of our guidelines and keep them safe.
In my column today, I said that if I had a son who was lucky enough to play football for the University of Memphis, I would feel comfortable with him going back. If I had an older brother who was coaching at the University of Memphis, though, I might actually be less comfortable. For the staff, it's a separate challenge, isn't it? I mean, they're and that's something you have to think about as well.
Absolutely, it is a separate challenge, and you know, a lot of the same sort of guidelines or standards apply. And fortunately, we're dealing with mature adults that, you know, you would like to think that they will continue to make good decisions and manage it appropriately. But there are, you know, different things that they got to worry about. They're just around, going to be around more, and likely exposed more to each other and to student athletes. But you know, that's why we're also being really thoughtful there and trying to you know, maintain all of our social distance guidelines, you know, maintain clean standards, you know, and really come in phases. And you know, up to this point particularly, there's been, you know, very little interaction with the staff, and Ryan's been really smart about how he's approached that on the football side. I'm sure our other sports will be as well.
Right now, the plan is, my understanding, the baseline test when they players report, and then a test after that if they are symptomatic, but not otherwise. Early on, when we heard about college football possibly coming back at some point, et cetera, there was a lot of talk about regular sort of asymptomatic, weekly or whatever testing. That is not something that right now you are planning to do, I gather. What's the thinking on that?
Not right now, but as you know, you and I discussed before, and as you've mentioned, that could very likely change. It really is going to be dependent on, you know, guidelines and advice that we get as things progress. You know, in this day and age, a month is an eternity, right? So, in terms of what's developed, in terms of the, you know, testing that's developed, in terms of, you know, the things that are recommended and learned, so I could easily see that change, and we'll follow the guidelines that are provided to us at that time.
People do want to know if you're going to be playing football. Like, everyone wants to know the end, right? They want to know the end.
Right.
And so what do you imagine? And how much are you working on right now, fan plans, for example? Lots of different fan scenarios at the Liberty Bowl. I imagine you have to be, right?
Yeah, we have started that process. As I, you know, mentioned, as you can imagine, there's only so much you can really, you know, think about, determine, really dig into and work on at one time. So our focus has truly been on just this first phase and getting people back. But then, you know, we have started to model different options, whether that's, you know, financially model or physically model, you know, what could happen in different scenarios from a Liberty Bowl standpoint, from a FedEx Forum standpoint, and you know, then our other facilities, and it's challenging. There's a lot of things to think about. I do, as you know, I've maintained from the beginning, I am really optimistic we're going to have competitions, and you know, I believe we'll have fans in one way, shape, or form. That's just my personal opinion. Now, that decision is going to happen, you know, at a much higher level and much broader scale. You know, so we'll wait and see, you know, how it really plays out, but I believe we can get there, and you know, we have modeled different options of what that could look like potentially within those areas, but we're not going to get too far down that path until we know a little more of a clear direction.
It strikes me that in terms of the academic, I mean, the financial standing of the athletic department, having fans, particularly for a school in the American Athletic Conference, having fans in the stands is important just from a financial perspective. You get a lot of your revenue from tickets sold. The SEC gets a lot of revenue that way too, but they also get a lot of TV revenue. You don't get nearly as much TV revenue. How much does the financial future of the athletic department depend on having a good number of fans in the stands this football season?
It's hugely significant, Jeff. There's no question. It you know, the ability for us to, you know, have fans in the stands and have them invest and support in what we're doing is critical. I mean, there's just no other way to say or look at it. So you know, we'll do everything we can based on what we're given to manage that. But it's there's no question it could create some real challenges. So, you know, that's why we've really encouraged people to renew their season tickets, donate to the Tiger Scholarship Fund, and try to, you know, try to understand what their options could be if, you know, if something happens. But it is critically important and could be very challenging. But, you know, we, as with all of this, we'll continue to face it day by day.
If you want to encourage people to do that, if they haven't renewed or want to contribute, where do they go to do that?
Just call our ticket office directly is the best way to do it. Or Tiger Scholarship Fund office. We have, of course, online services, but right now if they call out, reach out. I think most of all of them that, from a renewal standpoint have had a lot of connections, probably more than they want from our staff. But that's really where we're focused right now, is trying to, you know, try to make sure people that have been with us have every opportunity to continue to renew.
Yeah, I understand lots of people out there have their own financial challenges, and that must be part of it, but there's never been a more important time to stand with the university if you believe in the place, as I do and so many do. Last question, unrelated. I wanted to ask you about the Lance Thomas situation. He tweeted yesterday that he may not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I presume he meant the national anthem. He then said he took down the tweet because he was asked to take it down. So I guess I have two questions. One is, are you aware that the university asked him to take down the tweet? And do you all have any policy on whether you are allowed to tweet something like that as a student athlete, or in fact, whether you are allowed to decline to stand for the national anthem?
Well, Jeff, I have not had, unfortunately, the opportunity to effectively communicate with Penny or Lance, for that matter, on this topic yet. Given that just, you know, happened last night, and I know there's been a lot of reporting out this morning. So at this point, I would just say, you know, first of all, we're going to support Lance's right and all of our student athletes' right of free speech. And more importantly, right now, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to and the opportunity just to support and listen to Lance and really, you know, everybody that's impacted by, you know, racial injustice in this country. It's a very difficult time, and I recognize that, and I know we all do, but we'll have an opportunity to communicate effectively on that in the future.
Thanks very much, Laird. I appreciate it. Best of luck with this as you start to roll out next week, and congratulations on being actually at the office again. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that is very deep. Anyway, there you go. What did you make of that, Jeffrey?
Let's
hold off on the Lance thing first. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. What'd you make of I'm always impressed by the guy.
Yes, I completely agree. He is, he deserves to be where he is, in my opinion. I think that's one thing that always stands out whenever you talk to him, whenever we talk to him on the afternoon show, whenever anyone talks to him.
I should not invoke this person's name, but can you imagine if R.C. Johnson was judge right now? Not exactly a detail guy, right? Like, so, and I didn't mean to.
No, I know what you mean. But inevitably,
I believe that Laird is on top of this stuff. I 100%. Now, I think he's worried, because I would be worried. It is funny when I think about it. Like, I made the thing about. It is true. When my kids are in the facilities, meaning in my house,
right,
I don't really worry about them much. When they're away from the facility, that's when I worry about them, and I do worry about them.
Yeah, you've never kind of put it together in that metaphor like right. You did today, but you've always said, you know, especially, you know, when they're teenagers.
You absolutely, yes, no question.
June 15th seems like a reasonable kind of start, you know, whatever, start planning to enter phase one. And I think the other thing that was obvious is, you know, when he says I'm optimistic and feel, you know, and I feel optimistic about the possibility of having a season, I think he's right. I also think that he's right to sit there and say we don't really know, because I think part of what makes this situation so difficult is the fact that, you know, as we've seen with a lot of things, you can have plans and they can
Almost like you can ask him, are we going to have football? But he doesn't know.
Exactly.
You know? He doesn't know. What struck me, honestly, most about it is I do have great confidence in just him as a competent individual. And so that is one thing. I thought when he responded to my question about how important it is to have fans in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could tell it was not a
rote certainly
answer.
Something weighing
it was like,
on him.
There is no question. Yes. That's a big deal. And that's the reality for this. That's the reality for this.
Well, I think it's twofold. You know, take the obvious concern. Okay, well, if we are allowed to even have some fans in the stands, I think we can all safely say, it does not seem likely that you're going to be able to sell as many tickets as you could at the SMU game. That it seems like there's going to be some type of limit on what you can do. Now, I think a separate question is, okay, where are people going to be at in terms of wanting to go to games? And, you know, what if you can have, let's say, 30,000 people in the Liberty Bowl? Well, what if now more than ever people decide, you know, I can watch my Tigers at home. And what does that look like? And does that affect the bottom line? Because
right.
And how much?
No, it is huge. And I don't fundraise for the University of Memphis. But if you are on the fence and have the means to support them, like there are people out of jobs, there are people. I get it, all of that. But if you love the University of Memphis and have the means to renew your tickets, and have the means to support the University of Memphis, it is simply true that there has never been a time in the last 40 years or 50, certainly in the 25 years I've been here, there has never been a time when they need it more than now. And you heard it in his voice. Okay. On the Lance Thomas thing, good for him, man. Because it's not.
That was a great answer.
Well, it was the answer that I would hope that any of you fans out there who are grappling with how to think about this or might be instinctively thinking Lance shouldn't do that, whatever, that it's not just, first he said the obvious thing, we support our students' rights to free speech and to say what they want. But then he immediately said, the more important thing to do is listen. The more important thing to do is listen. Instead of reacting to Lance, instead of reacting to what might happen, instead of, why don't we take this moment to listen and to see why a young African-American man, smart, engaged, thoughtful, etc., would at 2 o'clock in an afternoon choose to tweet that. Maybe instead of reacting, we should think, all right, what is it that Lance has to say that maybe I should listen to, particularly if I live a different reality than Lance? Maybe that's what I should do. I thought the answer that he thought it important to listen was perfect. And let's be honest, the biggest athletic programs there are largely feature and built around African-American athletes. Football team, largely African-American.
Certainly the revenue sports.
Certainly the revenue sports, largely African-American. Maybe in this moment in America, and maybe for all of us, and I've had to learn this before too. Like I was caught up in the Kaepernick thing. And I fundamentally support Colin Kaepernick. Of course I do. Of course I do. You people know that. I mean, I don't hide who I am, what I believe on the show. But I did say something that was, here's what it was. Colin Kaepernick said that America is oppressing black people, right? And I took exception to the wording of that.
Sure.
Right? If he had said that black people are oppressed in America, but it was stupid. I was caught up in this semantic debate.
Correct.
About whether it's the official,
yeah.
Whether it's the official policy of America to subjugate black people, which it was for forever. Let's be honest,
yes.
For forever, and then became the unofficial policy. And let's be honest, right now I might. So, but anyway, so Tammy Sawyer came after me on Twitter in a hard, very critical way. I'm getting blasted by Tammy, and she has lots of followers, and they were all blasting me. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be like I think I'm progressive. I think I'm on your side. And Tammy is like coming after me. And it was urged upon me, and I was like mad. I'm like, come on, seriously? And it was urged upon me to listen, to maybe, instead of being defensive and reactive, and to see why what I had said bothered Tammy and a lot of people who follow Tammy on Twitter. And it is hard to listen, man, particularly when you feel like you're being called a racist. Like you just want to. And what you have to, I think what I have to have taught myself to maybe do is listen. And so for Laird to come out and say that when that happens yesterday, his instant response, it wasn't, yes, of course we, and that's it. He said, I'm going to listen to Lance. I'm going to listen to Lance. And I can listen to any other athletes who feel the same way. And he didn't say this, but I would hope that the athletes, they're in college, for heaven's sakes. This is when they're supposed to be engaged in the world and figuring out the injustices of the world and where they fit in the world and all of that. I would hope that the athletes would be engaged in this conversation in a way that Lance clearly is.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.